You guys ready for the word this morning? Amen. One good thing is I won't go as long as I normally go, but you never know. I'm going to go as long as the Holy Spirit wants me to go, amen? Amen. And there was an old proverb that says, blessed are the short-winded. Like when I used to be an evangelist and travel from church to church, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. And we're going to just look at a small portion here of Acts chapter 6. And if you don't have a Bible, you can follow it on the screen there. The church was growing. And verse 1 says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, say multiplied. Multiplied. That's what we want to take place here is multiplication. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, the early church, people shared everything in common. Those who had lands and houses and possessions, they would sell them and they would bring the money to the disciples, and then the disciples would distribute to the people, whoever had need. And something amazing happened. The Bible says that no one lacked. Amen? You know, when we have a generous heart, no one's going to lack who knows you. And so some people of the church were being neglected. In verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, they're not saying that the word, preaching the word of God is more important than serving tables. Amen? But what they're saying is they had a part to play, and people can't be in two places at one time. Amen? And thank God that I've learned that over the years since we've been here. So, verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men. And I want you to pay attention to these qualities. Of honest report. To have an honest report is to have good character, integrity, not only within the church, but outside the church. Now, what were these men going to do? They were going to serve tables. They were going to make sure the widows were taken care of in the daily distribution of food or whatever, right? You know, for the littlest task, and just because it's little doesn't mean it's least important. These are qualities that God looks for. Number one, honest report. Number two, full of the Holy Ghost. Everybody say full. Do you know when your car is empty? Or when your gas tank is empty? There's an indication, right? Well, how do you know when someone's full? It overflows. You'll be with them in conversations and it'll overflow. You'll be with them in different places and it'll overflow. That's how you tell someone is full. They were full of the Holy Ghost, full of power. And wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. Whom we may appoint over this business. Who picked out these people? The people. The apostle said, choose you out among you. Would you be able to recognize someone who is honest and has a good report, who's full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom? Are we familiar with these qualities in our own life? And the apostle said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Ministers need to pray in order to be effective. I love to study, but I love to pray. And we need both. And they're going to dedicate themselves to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. When they sat before the apostles, when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, what happened after they were set in place and they were commissioned? Verse 7, and the word of God increased. Say that with me. Say, the word of God increased. See, when people who are full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom and of good report, are put in a place where they can use their gifts, when they can function how God created them, increase is going to occur. Amen? Amen. Increase didn't occur when just a small few were doing everything. But we all have a part to play. See, I have a part to play in God's work. Now just ask yourself this question. Am I doing my part to the fullest? Am I doing my part to the fullest? And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Say greatly. And great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Man, if you get a priest to get in faith, that's amazing. Praise God. But how did this occur? When they were all working together, there were 11 apostles, maybe 12. I don't know about the one that they chose in the first chapter. And now they added 7 men to wait on tables. Now notice what happened. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and what? Power. Did what? What did he do? Great wonders and what? Where was that done? Among the people. The teachers who teach in kids' life, when they're serving and they're full of faith and power, miracles can happen in our kids. Amen? When everybody who comes into the kitchen, we call this the meet, greet, and eat, and there's anointing there. And when you come in and you're ministering to the people, miracles, signs, and wonders can happen. When people greet at the door and they're friendly and they have a smile and they're energetic, miracles, signs, and wonders can happen. When people who sing and they're anointed and they're full of the Holy Ghost and they're of good report, miracles, signs, and wonders can happen. Amen? We are seeing it increase. More people are stepping out, saying things, doing things. I'm excited about that. Because I see that multiplication is going to start to occur. Amen? So we want to get into our place. If you don't know what your place is, ask the Lord. Pray. He created you. He knows exactly how you're made and what you're made for, how you're wired and what you're wired for, and He's got a place for you. He's got a place for you. And when we all do our place, increase is going to occur. Amen? I'm excited about that. You know, before I ever preached a sermon, I was in a choir, and that was by the grace of God. I ushered. And oftentimes, see, I was a single person attending church in Illinois, and if they needed someone to pick up someone from the airport, I did that too. I made myself available. I did whatever I could find to do. And I just got involved. I did something. Amen? You've got to do something. You can't do nothing. God is not a nothing God. He's a too much God. And God won't ask you to do anything if you haven't done what He's told you to do. God won't ask you anything more until you've done what he's told you to do. Think about that for a minute. I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. This is going to tie right in with where we want to go for today. I love how God does that. I was kind of wondering how he was going to do that. Amen? You know, Jesus, at the age of 12, he knew that he should be about his Father's business. Did you know that Jesus had to live by faith? He was the Son of God, yes, but when he came to this earth, he did not take the title of God. He didn't just act like God. He was a man. He was 100% God, yes, and he was 100% man. He was the perfect ideal representative that he could represent us and God together. Jesus walked in your shoes. He's felt what you felt. He's experienced what you've experienced. He was tempted in all points just like you are, but he never sinned. That's the only difference. And he gave us the example of how to live on earth. And aren't you glad that our God is so good? He is so good. And he has given to us everything that we could ever need, that we could want, and that we could desire. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he said he will give you what? The desires of your heart. He said he will meet your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he said, I am the shepherd and you shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. If you got a good shepherd who will even take care of your wants, praise God. And in the book of Ephesians, this is going to be the prelude to next week. Because our theme is knowing and understanding God's power. Aren't you glad you can know God's power? You can experience it. When a person gets born again, God's power is at work raising them from spiritual death. It is God's power that's at work that draws people in. There were three different occasions at this church where people came in the building and we were here and they said, God told me to come in. And they were people that had great needs, and when they came in, we prayed for them and they got set free. One guy was working construction nearby and he just happened to drive by and he felt a strong inclination just to come in. See, what was working? It was God's power that was working to draw him in. God designed each one of us to be beneficiaries and recipients of God's power. See, just like this building is wired, and the wiring that's used in this building is conducive for protons and electrons to travel on it. Now, there's some metals that aren't conducive to those things, but copper is a wire that's conducive so that power can flow through it. Are you getting where I'm at? You are like the copper wiring. You have been wired that God can flow through you. You are equipped. You are designed. You are made. You are created that God and his power can flow through you, can come on you, and can work in you. Praise God. God wants to do something in you. He wants to then do something through you, and then at different times, he wants to come on you to perform certain tasks. That's why we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're operated as the Spirit wills, and when he comes on you and he wants to operate the gift, you simply just yield to what he wants to do. For example, when Jesus went to Samaria, John chapter 4, he met a woman at the well. Before he went there, he told his disciples, he said, it's necessary that I go to Samaria. I believe that the Holy Spirit was drawing him to Samaria because he was about to make a divine connection. I call them divine appointments. Amen? Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by circumstance. It's by design. Amen? You're either doing God's design or you're doing the devil's design. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle, there's no gray area. You're either for God or you're not. And if you're not, then change your mind today. And there was this woman. And this Jewish man, Jews didn't normally talk to Samaria. And this has nothing to do with my notes, but I just believe that the Holy Spirit wants this to be said. Jews didn't talk to Samaria because Samarians were half-breeds. The Jews didn't like them. They thought they were dogs. They were the outcasts of the Jewish society. And this man, Jesus, I'm sure that their clothing identified him as a Jew because she knew he was a Jew, because she was surprised that this Jew was talking to her. Amen? But God is interested in people because people know people. She happened to be the key to the city of Samaria. God needed to connect her with the power of God so that he could give the power to the city. See, the city was in darkness and the light was about to be turned on. And so this woman, he said, you know, would you give me the drink? And she's like, you know, why is this Jewish man asking me for something to drink? And he made a statement as she was dipping the bucket into the well. The water that you drink here, once you drink it, you're going to be thirsty again. But the water that I give you, you will never thirst. Now that got her interest. Because apparently this woman, and we know, we're going to know in just a little bit, she went through some things. She went through some trials. She had broken relationships, probably a broken heart. She was probably abused in some way, shape, or form. She was messed up. And if you know anybody that's ever been messed up? They needed help. They needed divine influence. Well, Jesus came to clean up her mess. And he started to minister to her. And then, to make a long story short, he said, why don't you go tell your husband to come? She said, I have no husband. Now, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, it was a word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit revealed this already known fact about this woman to Jesus so that he could minister to her. I just said that because you're power conduits today. God wants to work through each one of you. He wants to bless through you. He wants to touch through you. He wants to minister through you. But in order to minister to others, you got to be right with him. If you're out of line with him, you're not going to be effective in ministering to others. You got to get in line first. You got to do what's right. You got to do what he says. You got to do it his way. He is Lord. Say this with me. Say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say, I'm not.
I'm not.
Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
And I'm not.
I'm not.
That means you don't get to decide what you're going to do in life, where you're going to be. God gives you the choice, but he has a master plan for you. And when you follow his plan, that's when you'll be most satisfied. And so Jesus said, well, the man that you're living with now is not your husband, and you've had four or five husbands. Forget what the number is. She's like, how did you know that? And he told her what a true worshiper is. He said, a true worshiper will worship me in spirit and in truth. And she went back into the city, and all she said was, it was like she was going to D.C., She went into the city and she told everybody that she knew, come hear a man who told me everything I ever did. What kind of witnessing is that? Witnessing is just telling others what God has done for you. Has God done something for anybody here today? Then tell others what God has done for you. Doesn't matter who you tell. When she told the people that she knew, half the town came out. And they said, now we know for ourselves. We've heard him ourselves. But her simple testimony connected others to the power of God. We're about to celebrate the greatest display of power that we have ever known up to this point. And that was the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. and he ever lives. Amen?
Yes.
So let's look at the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. And Paul begins to pray for the saints at Ephesus. I want you to notice I just wanted to point out that the saints in Ephesus were alive when Paul was writing this. You don't have to wait to die to become a saint. How do you become a saint? Trust in Jesus. Okay? All right. So, let's look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, you will find that you cannot separate love and faith, because faith works by love. Paul heard of their faith. I bet Paul could discern who had faith in Ephesus, because he heard of their faith. When you hear of faith, what do you think of? If you heard that I had faith, what would you think of? How would you? Okay. Trustworthy? What else? What? Doing something. Yes. That's what I was looking for. All the others were great, and that's good. A person of faith does something. What do? They do what Jesus said. Okay? Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I want to just point out, Paul was writing this epistle from prison. He wrote to some of these churches from prison. Everybody say prison. He was ministering from prison. And what he's making mention of them in his prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, everybody say no, what is the hope of your calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To us who believe. The working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So there are four things that you need to become familiar with, to understand, to know the power of God. Number one, you need the spirit of wisdom. Jesus, Isaiah 11:2, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about the sevenfold spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might, the spirit of understanding, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord. There's seven that describe Jesus, and one of them is wisdom. God's given you the spirit of wisdom. Did you know that Jesus Christ is our wisdom? He has become our wisdom. He is our wisdom. Okay? So you need the spirit of wisdom. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And I'm going to go quickly because I'm not going to go too long. Amen? And look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians. Did I say Chronicles? I apologize. Corinthians. Thank you for your help. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. See, God wants you to understand his power, but you're going to need help to understand it. And he's given us the best helper, the best teacher that ever was, ever will be, and ever has been, called the Holy Spirit. And he has enabled the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. So you have a personal mentor, a personal coach, a power generator inside you, wherever you go, wherever you're at, and whenever you need him. And it says, verse 9, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Say, God's prepared me some things. See, if you love God, he's got some things prepared for you. That means ahead of time, God had some things ready. Just like the ram that Abraham found in the thicket. He said, go up to the mountain. Abraham went in faith, and he was going to offer his son, but God had prepared himself a lamb ahead of time. While Abraham and Isaac were going up to Mount Moriah, the ram was making his way to the thicket. So there are things that God's prepared for you. How are you going to know what God has prepared for you? He doesn't stop there. Verse 10. But God, I love it when it says, but God, has revealed them unto us. What's he revealed to us? The things that he has prepared for us. God, he reveals them. He shows them. For the Spirit, or they revealed unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You've got someone who was there at creation. You've got someone who was there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. You've got someone when Peter walked on water. You've got someone when he spoke to the fig tree. You've got someone who was there when he spoke to the wind and said, peace be still. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. That means to make alive. What does the Holy Spirit do? He reveals what is prepared for us. So why do you need to know what's prepared for you? If you don't know what's prepared for you, you can't use it. If you didn't know that I had put $1 million in a Swiss bank account with your name on it, you could never access that account. But the only way that you could access that account is if I revealed to you that I did that for you. Now, God has got more than $1 million in the Swiss bank account for us. Amen. He's given us life. He's given us health. He's given us favor. He's given us love. He's given us acceptance. He's given us help. He's given us strength. He's given us power. And everything that he's given us is eternal. Hallelujah. And they're revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the same Spirit that was on Jesus. When Jesus, before he left, he gave us his Holy Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on all flesh. If he poured out his Spirit on all flesh, how come all flesh aren't operating in the things that the Spirit gave them? Because it takes faith. Do you know that there are people in the world that don't love God right now? Because many people don't know that God loves them. They think God hates them. They think God's mad at them for whatever. That's why we go to places like D.C. That's why we go to downtown Palmyra to tell people that Jesus loves them. Some people just need to know that God loves them. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Aren't you glad you don't have the spirit of the world? Some Christians need to get a revelation of that so that they stop acting like the world. You know, the world, acting like the world just simply means operating according to the world system. The attitude of the world, the mindset of the world. You know what's going to happen to this world? It's going to pass away. But you know what's going to stand? He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So we didn't receive the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Look at that, we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do you know what you have at your fingertips? Do you know? Are you acquainted with? Do you understand? Can you operate in the things that God has given you? The Holy Spirit helps us know. Just like God wants you to know His power. He wants you to understand. How many here took driver's ed? Hopefully everyone that's driving. Why did you take driver's ed? Because you needed to understand the rules of the road. You needed to know how to operate that vehicle. The only thing I hated about driver's ed is the teacher had a break too. Sometimes God is like that. Sometimes you're living in like a driver's ed car, and sometimes He has the brakes and He'll keep you from harm. That's called His grace and mercy. But see, you took driver's ed so that you could gain understanding, so that you could operate the vehicle. Now, if we took a class on how to operate God's power, what should we be doing then after we pass the class? We should be using God's power. See, in order to use it, you got to get, where are you going to get understanding of God's power? Right here. Wherever there's teaching and preaching of the Word of God under the anointing. There's a lot of teaching and preaching that has no anointing on it whatsoever. So God has given us the spirit of wisdom to know. Secondly, He gives you revelation and insight. Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar, the secrets are revealed by God. Jesus told His disciples, He said in Matthew 13, He said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You ever hear someone say, oh, God works in mysterious ways? Anybody ever hear that? Beside me, they're only a mystery to those who don't know Him. But to those who know Him, He reveals the secret of the mystery, therefore it's no longer a mystery. God didn't invite you to a mystery dinner. He wants you to come to a revealing dinner. Amen? God doesn't keep secrets from you that love Him, that walk with Him, that serve Him. Now, if you're not walking with Him, loving Him, or serving Him, You're going to have a lot of unknown. Amen? So He gives us revelation. How many know that, remember Jesus took a quiz for His disciples in Matthew 16? He said, who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that He is? Who do you say that He is? Well, some say Jeremiah. Some say Elijah. Some say Isaiah or another prophet. But you know what He said? I love the Lord. He's not concerned about the opinion of the multitude. He's concerned about your opinion. Then He turned around and said, what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And the disciples are like, huh? Who does He say? You're Jesus. And then Peter. Good old Peter. Peter, God used His ability to act without thinking. Amen? We need some Peter in us. We need to be able to act without thinking when God says something. Peter spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. God wants to reveal His secrets, His ways, His methods of His kingdom. He wants to, you know, God's got secrets on how to live. God's got secrets on how to pay your taxes. Really? Yeah, you remember when Peter and Jesus, they came up to the temple and they didn't have money on them. Judas was somewhere else because Judas was the treasurer. He wasn't right there. He was probably somewhere stealing the money somewhere. We know that Judas was the thief. What happened? Jesus said, okay, Peter, we got to pay our taxes, so I want you to go down to the lake, and the first fish you catch on the line, pull it up, and inside there's going to be two coins, one for you, one for me. How did he know that? Because the secrets of the kingdom are revealed by God. Jesus has all the secrets. He has the secret ways to avoid the traps of the enemy. He's got secret ways to prosper you. Who would have thought that Israel would have prospered by asking their employers for their stuff? I mean, can we even conceive of that today? Go into your boss's office and say, you know what? I like your office. I want it. You'd be going out with an F. But see, God knows the secrets. And when you're in tune with him, he'll reveal his secrets to you. No one in Egypt knew what was about to happen, except God showed it to Pharaoh, and even though he saw it, he didn't understand it. He needed someone with some insight. He needed a Joseph to interpret what God was about to do, because little did Pharaoh know, but God had Joseph in there as an inside man. He planted Joseph into Egypt so that he could save the people. And we walk in such lack of having secrets revealed. You know why? Because we try to do it our way. I did it my way. Yeah, you did. How'd that work out for you? I don't care if you did it your way and you gained all the money of the whole world. Bible says if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you're in worse shape. You've gained nothing. Doesn't matter how much material goods you gain. If you're not connected to God, you've got nothing. Thirdly, in verse 18, back in Ephesians, he says that you may have the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's literally the eyes of your heart. You know, God deals with the heart. When he wanted a king for Israel, he didn't look at his strength. He didn't look at his military prowess. He looked at his heart. See, you've got eyes in your heart. Amen? Did you know? And your heart represents your spirit, the real person, the inside man. Paul said this. He said, I keep my body under. What was the difference between I and my body? The real Paul, which was his spirit. See, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Your body is just your house. Amen? And you can decorate your house any way you want to. Praise God. But Paul said, I, the real Paul, keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Your body's supposed to serve you, not you the body. See, a person who's not born again, they're dominated by the body. They do what the body wants. They do what the body feels. They do what affects the body. But when you're a Christian, you have a choice. You don't have to do what the body says. The body now has to do what you say. If you choose to fast, you can tell your body you're not going to eat. And I don't care how much your body complains and whines. You know, our body's got ways of speaking to us. That's just my body talking, but I'm not listening. You can keep your body under. You know why that's important? Because Satan operates in the physical realm. Temptation affects your body. And then finally, you know, the Bible says you can taste and see that the Lord is good. You got spiritual tasters? He says that Sometimes things of God are like a fragrant aroma or odor your spirit can smell. You know what God thinks of the prayers of the saints that come up before his throne? They're like a sweet-smelling savor to him, a sweet fragrance. Our spirits can smell. Your spirit has faculties similar to your senses. How many has ever touched God with their hands? But how many has ever touched God? Amen? You've gotten a hold of God before. It wasn't a physical thing because God's a spirit. And then Jesus said, let those who have ears to hear, let them hear what? The Spirit is saying. Your spirit can hear. You've got spiritual hearing, spiritual seeing. You got to have the spirit of wisdom. You got to have revelation. You got to have your eyes of understanding being enlightened, and you got to have knowledge of God in order to benefit from the power. We're going to get into the power next week. That's why I'm holding off for verse 19. I'm just giving you some hors d'oeuvres. Amen? I believe God's power is here today. God's power is right here. How do I know? Because when two or three, now we got more than two, we got more than three. He said, if two or three are gathered in my name, did you come in your name today? No, we came to worship Jesus. So therefore, he said, I am in the midst. The I am is here. What do you need today? What have you been carrying today that you need to unload to him? Amen? I believe that God wants to touch you today. Amen? And I believe if we can worship, if we can sing a worship song, I believe God wants to touch you. And if you need prayer for whatever reason, I would invite you to come up and I will pray for you. Amen? It's okay to, you know, it's okay to have prayer. We believe in laying on of hands and praying. But there's a divine transfer that God wants to do. He wants to download some new software. You can get an upgrade today. Amen? You can get a direct deposit from God today. Amen? You can connect with his power today for whatever you need. His power is here. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for moving by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that your power is here. And Lord, the people who come in faith, they're going to receive today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're going to receive before you leave. Because you're a possessor. And for those of you, just if you want to just worship God, put your eyes on Jesus. All right? Let's just focus on the Lord right now. You need to be engaged with God. Amen? If you want to sit down, fine, but focus on the Lord, okay? His power is moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. His power is already at work. Hallelujah. Father, you make all things good. Enjoys in Jesus' name. You perfect that which concerns her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you, Lord, for your power to go into her, to flow into her, and to grow in her in the name of Jesus. That magnificent, awesome, wonder-working power. I thank you, Father, right now that you touch her in Jesus' name. Touch her mind. Touch her body. Touch her soul in Jesus' name. He works in your soul to make you whole. Whole. Nothing missing. Father, I speak Jehovah Shalom over Joyce right now. There's nothing missing. Nothing broken. And if it's broken, you've repaired it right now. In the name of